Hello and welcome to A Load of Old Toffee, episode number 64, brought to you in association with boroughguide.co.uk and Rump and Wade at the Cromwell Hotel Stevenage. I'm joined this evening by Dean Thompson.
Hello.
Steve Watkins.
Hello.
And Mr. Pat Jackson.
Good to be back.
Right, Steve, I'll let you take over from there. Now you've composed yourself.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Pleasure.
As long as it's since we last got together, a month.
Ooh. Yeah, about that, I suppose, yeah. 3 weeks, month.
And in that time, you've seen two games this season.
One.
Good,
isn't it?
Good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, only the one, only been one game.
Yep,
no, one game. I've only been to one game.
It was good.
It's a cracker.
I'm just trying to think, when what was the last game before we did do the last one?
Well, Pat, help us out.
Pat will know. Pat knows everything about
Hogarth Toffee.
Was it just after Notts County?
Notts County, was it?
Oh, I mean, just before Notts County?
Okay, so we've lost a game since then, haven't we?
We have lost a game, yeah, we lost one.
But
we beat Luton since then, we lost to Blackpool since then, and then we dominated Portsmouth.
Okay. And, well, just a quick look at the league table, and which, of course, the manager doesn't do.
Yeah.
And it's it's not bad, is it? It's you look at that, and, 4 points off of third place?
Yeah, you wouldn't have to wait for the page to skip over on CFAX, would you?
It's some turnaround, isn't it?
Look, we have a lot of kids listen to this, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
I got no idea what you're talking about.
The kids don't listen to this one anymore.
Well, they listen to our own podcast.
Kids have moved on.
They listen to our own podcast. Have you turned the? You know, we don't want any technical problems tonight, Steve. So, have you actually pressed the record button?
Yeah, we're good. We're in. We're deep in.
Because not pressing the record button is a technical issue.
That is a technical.
Not you can sit and talk for an hour and 20 minutes.
If you haven't pressed record,
no one's going to hear it.
No, we're recording. We're going. We're all going ahead.
But can I just throw into that? And I don't want to be negative or anything. Just imagine, a point or three at Blackpool, and how exciting that would be right now.
It's not just Blackpool, is it? There were some early games as well where we kind of came away with nothing or a point when we should have had all three in some big games against some big opposition as well.
Mm.
But you can always do that at the end of a season, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And if you don't look too far back and just look at that Blackpool result, I think you'd have probably taken 2 points across Luton and Blackpool. So to come out with three, I think, you know, we're in a good position. We've had a decent run that's put us probably, or definitely, in a much better position than any of us thought we were ever going to be in.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, just crack on.
Yeah.
It's the fact that we're even thinking about nicking one of those automatic promotion spots is mental, considering this time 3 months ago you wouldn't have even been considering the playoffs.
Well, it's got to be on, isn't it? And, you know, when you look at current form, which is the only real guide you've got, there's nobody touching Stevenage at the moment.
No one's going to be one of the players.
And what's it all the Portsmouth fans are saying? That the side that they're really worried about is Stevenage, because they are on such a run of form, and it's...
But, you know, however you look at it, we may well have done Luton a favour on Saturday, eh, Steve? I gather your fine colleague on Saturday...
I feel poor old Simon was perhaps...
I think he was blind allied on that one.
Simon's not of that ilk, is he, to go down that sort of route, and perhaps...
I think Neil let him know, good and proper.
Might regret what he said there.
If I miss something.
Well, Simon suggested, or I think maybe Jeff or Simon maybe suggested pre-match, that Stevenage beating Portsmouth would do Luton a favour on Saturday.
Oh.
And Neil, Treble...
Took umbrage to that.
Being Neil, took Simon to the to task, didn't he?
And rightly
and
so.
And quite rightly so.
At the end of the day...
Quite rightly so.
I don't think I don't think Darren Sahl had Luton Town in mind when he went out to that game and just think we could do them a favour by any stretch of the imagination.
Do you not think that went into his team?
Come on,
right,
lads.
Lads. Yeah, that mob that you took to the sword last week, that lot that, you know, couldn't get out of bed for a goal. You could do them. You could. You know, they beat Newport on Tuesday. You could do them a favour.
Had we been in mid-table or lower, then yeah, I could understand the comment, but
being above Luton at the time, yeah, it's a little bit, yeah. And I'm with you. Simon is the nicest man I've met in football, and he wouldn't have meant it like that.
No. Yeah, it did get picked up on by quite a few Stevenage fans anyway. But there you go. Such is.
There's nothing like a bloke on the radio with a pair of balls. And Neil Treble certainly was that on Saturday.
Pat, how are you finding it?
It's been great since Christmas, hasn't it? It's been a really quick turnaround from I can't see where the next win's coming from to they're getting really close to I can't see where the next loss is coming from. It's been a fantastic few months.
And you look at that one loss, which was Blackpool.
It was a penalty.
And
it was a penalty kick.
It was a penalty. Nothing.
It was a ball that dropped into the box and hit Jack on the hand.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Mr. Joyce... Well, he was no Mr. Brendan Malone, was he, from Luton on Saturday? He was more of a Mr. T. Kettle from wherever Mr. T. Kettle should come from.
Don't bring that name up again, please.
Well, we need to go through Kettle Watch at some point.
Yeah, we need to go through Kettle Watch because he done his best for us at Luton on Saturday, by the sounds of things. But Mr. Joyce was diabolical, wasn't he?
He wasn't good.
And we were in a very empty stand at Blackpool. It's a temporary stand, Pat, like at Barley.
We're in a very empty ground.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if people could pick it up, but not often we can hear the Stevenage fans picking up on it. If it picks up on our mic, it picks up in our ears, and you can hear it right in your ears. And Tuesday night, we struggled to hear each other for the noise coming from the Stevenage fans into our mic, into our ears. But there was nobody else in our stand apart from a few old boys that were obviously there to collect the ball.
And Richard
Bryars lookalike, Keith, the steward, one of RAF's finest, who was very good friends with Ken Dodd, Sir Kenneth Dodd, as he referred to it. Oh, how tickled I am! He did a great.
You got well with him, didn't you?
I did. I didn't think I was going to make it back to kickoff.
I don't think I hit it off with him.
You don't hit it off with many locals. Let's be honest. You normally go wrong when you get to the car park.
Unlike local MPs. He hits it off too well with, for my liking.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving on.
But he was great, and he's had a lift from Jimmy Tarbuck. He's had a lift from all the 70s, you know, entertainers.
Well done.
You know, I don't.
Well, no, there's no need to say anything.
Les Dawson, great bloke, lovely. Oh, he's a lovely fella. He's a lovely fella.
Just be careful what further names you call.
And I got a bit aerated, didn't I, at one point with Mr. Joyce? And I got rad. I was rah, 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 rah. Just blow your whistle. Just let the players do the talking. Don't let, you know, you whistle and all that. And Dan, Mr. Bronowski, was laughing. And I looked round and the whole of the written press were laughing at me because everyone could hear what I was saying. And I looked round and they were all going, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Another one on the list. But Mr. Joyce. I think Greg Kett, a.k.a. Lopo, said more than his fair share on Tuesday night when he was at Blackpool about Mr. Joyce.
Let's be honest. I think Blackpool put in a fine away performance against Stevenage there.
On their home ground.
And I think that was the biggest compliment that Darren Sahl could take away from that game because... Blackpool did do a job, and it was like Stevenage were the home side, and they were scared of Stevenage in a way because they don't normally play like that, and they closed down, and
he missed his penalty on Saturday, and Keith had a word with him before the game, the steward, and said, you know, put it that way, he's not going to dive that way.
Oh, Mr. Boyer, Gary Boyer,
what a dour man. have you know who he is? He used to manage Blackburn.
Son of Ian.
No, he's not, is he?
Son of Ian.
I don't know who that is either.
He used to play for Nottingham Forest. A dour man. miserable. And he went to Newport Saturday and he got hit in the lip by a sweet. Didn't he? And he went, it wasn't even my favourite flavour. Oh, don't try and be funny.
Yeah,
I was a miserable git.
A 13-year-old got banned for that, didn't he?
His name was Mr. Wesley Jr.
Actually, we shouldn't laugh. That's,
you should, can't, you can't, yeah, just, you can't condone friend stuff from the stands, particularly no. hard-boiled sweets.
It's fine for Borough Bear, though, either way.
It's all right to throw from the pitch.
I like that, Pat.
Yeah. So better to have a sweet thrown at you by a 13-year-old than the other way around, though, I think.
Did something get thrown on the pitch on Saturday?
Yes, from the Portsmouth end, bottle of water.
Was it?
Saw it with my own eyes.
Just after the half time, wasn't it?
Yep.
Quite early in the second half.
Was it water or was it their bottled tears?
It could have been that.
They were diabolical, Steve, weren't they?
Who?
Oh. Portsmouth. Did you think, Pat?
I wasn't at the game.
Oh, you're not at the game. I've seen worse sights than that. But
they're third.
Flaming nails.
I don't go for that.
We were good. We were very, very good.
Yeah. And I think maybe things could have been different had that early strike from them that come off the bar had gone in. It might have told a different story. Yeah, but
it was on the up one.
I don't think they had
anything about it. They
had no fight in them. We were too good for them.
I'm sick and tired this season of hearing people say, oh, they weren't very good, were they? Or that was the worst we've played all season and all the rest of it. Because Stevenage have beaten them.
No, I'm not
have you ever thought that maybe Stevens were the better side and didn't allow him to play?
Darren,
absolutely. And
those players, the highest compliment that we have made the third place team in the league look diabolical. We were attacking them in their own box, and they were passing the ball out, and it was going up for throw-ins, and they were, you know, it was hilarious.
Everything was panicked when you've got a team like Portsmouth who was sitting third in the league, resorting to pumping long balls to nowhere. It's the biggest compliment to laugh at
opposition. It's been a long, long time coming. That
penalty? Nothing about them at all. That deserves a 15-20 minutes slot on its own. So that's not probably build our way up to.
Have you watched that, Pat? How many times have you watched that?
I think is Wilco giving him absolute.
Yes,
that was brilliant.
And do you know what? I met Chris this afternoon.
It was the look on Chris's face when the ball ended up there, and he just looked at him and he was just saying,
"It was like a hot potato." But I watched Chris when the ball went up the other end, and we were at a passage of play at the other end, and he was gleaming.
Yeah.
But I was over the road this afternoon with a Portsmouth fan. You probably know who he is. And Chris was in the same establishment, and I introduced the pair of them. And and Rich said to Chris, he went, the best thing about that was Wilco's fist down. Yeah.
he let him have it when the penalty was given. And then, yeah, he did, didn't he? Let him have it afterwards.
Yeah.
But, God, dear. Did Chris have something at that point?
Well, Chris said he had a beer with Paul Cook afterwards, and he had a conversation with him, and he said, they've missed six of the seven, is that
right?
Yeah,
they've not got a good record.
And Rich said to me, well, they've gone left, right, and Chris said, look, I think they just decided to go down the middle because they've gone left and right, and I could have chosen one of those. And he said, instead, I just had that hunch to stand still, because he said, I thought he was going to blast it down my throat, so he said, I thought I was going to have to sort of push it out, but...
Because it was, they used all their subs by that point, because if I'm Paul Cook then, he's getting yanked. He's getting yanked the moment that ball goes out of play.
Well, he was a sub, wasn't he?
He'd come on and say, oh, I don't give a monkey's ooey.
And I'd asked for him to hand over 300 quid in his wages in my hand like that.
Yeah, I'd have docked his wages.
Count me 15 20s out.
And if I'd used all my subs by that point, he'd have been in Sunday morning doing laps. That was...
So I want to know, this is the question that I want you to be asking, but, you know, it's too long for a radio interview. Pat, I'm asking you the question. You are Darren Sowell. What have you done to that side? And I know you say we're working harder, we're doing this, we're doing that, but you can't just make them run quicker on a Monday and Tuesday in training. You can't just make them practice more free kicks on a Monday and Tuesday. And then you can't they're going to play 3-5-1 or 3-5-2 on Thursday in training. What have you done, Pat, to make that 11 play like that?
Pat hasn't done anything. It's Darren.
But the manager.
Yeah, go on, Pat.
Because strangely, he's been overrun tonight. I don't know why, but you know, this is Pat's moment.
Well, I think it looks like it comes down to mentality for me. They believe in what they're doing. They believe in each other and trust in what everyone else is doing.
But how do you do what? How do you get that? I don't get it.
It's just building up a work, I think.
I'm surprised. Like, no wonder this place is such a shambles.
we've
never seen such a demoralised workforce.
Oh,
I'm joking. It's so nice here. Sorry, Pat.
It's all right. No, I mean, we've gone from not being able to hold on to a lead against Notts County, like, what was it, 2-1 up, and ended up drawing that, to a point where even when we go behind, we don't look fazed. We just fight back and come back and go on to win or draw fairly frequently now. So it's that belief really tells.
Yeah, and I think Rob on the forum summed it up well in a one-line post in the forum. It's amazing, or whatever it was, it's amazing what confidence and belief in yourself and that sort of thing can do. And I'm with you, I don't know.
And that's
how you get a group of 20 geezers that have gone from not being able to buy a win at home to being able to say, look, you are good players, you're all capable of doing
not just one or two wins. How many did we lose at home on the bounce? 7?
And being able to, he's obviously come up with some sort of evidence.
And I love the Mercury
to say
thing
you can
Twitter.
Do this.
You know, the headline was, when Sol says, do what I say, you'll win, and we generally do. So maybe Darren is the football.
Do you know what I think it is? I just think he's stuck to his guns. He's got them playing away.
Yeah.
I was saying it back in
October. I told you so, but he was playing in a way.
You could see that they were playing in a way, and they weren't far away.
But you weren't burning from you back in October because we weren't winning.
I guess that is a thing, though. If you're one of that group of players and you see that he's gone in there with a set of ideas and a set of beliefs on day one that he hasn't wavered from, that we've lost 7 on the spin at home, that we're down the bottom half of the league, and he still hasn't wavered from that set of beliefs, and all of a sudden you start to turn a corner and you nick a win, and he still doesn't change anything, and he just sticks to his gun. All of a sudden you're starting to think, Jesus Christ, maybe he's right. If he isn't changing, even in the face of everything going wrong,
and I get
then I'm going to buy into this.
But even now, and you said it on Saturday, Steve, even now we've won 9 out of 10. He's still not changing it.
No, but why does he have to?
But it's previous now. Managers did.
Well, one certain previous manager was very successful, and he used to change his side and formation and whatever every week.
Yeah.
But Darren has... He's got belief in the players he's got to say, I'm not going to change it.
Because I know you can do it.
Let Portsmouth come and... Classic example, Portsmouth. Let them come and play their... You know, do what they can do to stop us. And what did they do? They changed their formation. And what happened?
Rich said to me today, we played a 3-5-2. No, you didn't. You played a 5-3-2. You played a 5-3-2. And those two fullbacks didn't do anything for you in an attacking sense, did they?
No.
And me and you, we had a conversation before the game, Steve. Who am I going to not like? Said Mark.
I like to go into these things positively after all.
And Cozzy got a bit of a... And you were surprised when I said he got a bit of a torrid time in that first half. And he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
They were pumping everything down his throat. And he headed a couple out of play and he got...
For me, he was the only slight downside on a very, very good performance.
The second half...
I didn't think...
When he was in front of you...
I didn't think much of him.
I thought he was great. He looked great second half.
And he's back from 2 or 3 months in.
Yes.
But he's
had to sit there and watch Connor Ogilvie go.
Yeah, and
smoking a cigar.
It was a very minor downside for me.
A few comments about him, though, since the game. And I have to say that at no point during that game was I concerned about Cossi.
They were hitting him every single time, though. Like, and that's possibly why.
He looked like he was panicking early doors, and there was balls going out of play, and there was long balls going... There was balls going nowhere.
Yeah, but you wear your glasses on the top of your head like you're wearing them right now. So,
well, the gentleman to my right hand side wasn't concerned either, and he was speaking
highlights
quite highly of him.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but he didn't get himself forward. He didn't. He just had to defend a little bit, and he had to get himself back in the swing of it. And you know, I remember our Beardo saying to me, "When you've been out for 3 months, you can't step back on a pitch, no matter how much training you've done, how many practice games you've done. When you're playing Southend reserves on a Tuesday afternoon down at Bradbury, it's not the same as stepping out onto the Lamex against Portsmouth with a third.
And I do have to agree as well that it was predominantly that first half, and that will have been partly because he was right in front of me and I could see more what he was doing. But the second half, there wasn't a point that I turned around to you and shook my head like I did a few times in the first half. So, you know, maybe it took him that half just to get comfortable again. And they did target him.
They were
pumping, everything was going through him.
And that's a third place team. Pumping balls at
they had nothing for me.
No. Which bodes well, because we need to take 4 points off them. Or need someone to take points off them so we can overhaul them.
Yeah.
But if they're front pair, Doyle and Hunt.
We called them something else, didn't we?
Did they ever scare you?
No.
No, I thought our back four had everything under control. Everything.
You know what? And he said to me, "Ooh, you love him, didn't you?" But Jack King, I could take to bed. I could take him and I'll give him a little I admire that man. I admire that man as a footballer more than Chris Beardsley.
He's got tattoos, Dean. Tattoos.
I can live with them. I can live with them, Pat.
It's fine, the light will be off. It'll be dark anyway.
No, I'm not doing anything. I just want to cuddle the man. I love him.
Give him a little tender cuddle till he falls asleep.
And Harry McCurdy loves him. I mean, me, Harry and Jack have had late night conversations in this very building. And, you know, Harry admires Jack. And I love Jack. He gets there. Look, there's a ball coming at him from up there. And he just gets it, and he just nods it down to his fullback, or he nods it into Wilco. You wouldn't have seen a centre-back last season, Jamie McComb, Mark Hughes, you know.
Play well at Ipswich.
Oh, do you know what? I found that podcast, and I've got it. I've got it. I'll put it in as a little video. Yeah, he played well at Ipswich. They wouldn't have done that. And I said to you, and you went, this was the moment you turned and went, you love him, didn't you? He got the ball was coming down his throat, and now he could have headed it straight back, and our midfield was here, there and everywhere at that time, and he's headed it out of play for a throw in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jack.
Yeah, 9 centre-halves out of 10.
Yeah, that's gone straight back, and it's coming straight back at you. But he stuck it out for a throw in, so Shuey, Charlie, you know, they can all get back in play.
Yeah, he's just assured, isn't he?
He
knows what he's doing,
and
it comes from confidence as well, with that sort of thing as well, in knowing that.
Even that penalty at Blackpool didn't really. No, I mean, no one argued, but it just sort of came down where.
There's not much you could do about it.
No, and is that handball in the centre circle? Anyway,
so I mean, we'll keep talking about Saturday because it was
brilliant.
Who was your man of the match?
You can't give one. You can't give a man in a match.
No, I don't think you can.
Pat, you can. I know you can, because you've always got a favourite.
Well, as I say, I've only seen highlights, so it'd be harsh to.
All right, okay, let's go with your man of the last 3 months then.
It's got to be Mike Godden, hasn't it? Since Christmas.
See, you love a striker, don't you?
No.
You love the glory, Pat.
What annoyed me Saturday, a little bit, I don't like it when we score a goal, and the first thing everybody does is start singing.
Well,
name of the goal scorer.
Steve, you'd have been proud. Me and him.
That ball at the back
started
of the net
the singing
Saturday,
on Saturday,
and that was a great finish from Matt Godden. Take nothing
80
away from
years
that.
Combined that age between the two of us.
That is a great, great finish from Matt Godden. And the first name that I started singing is Joby's, because that assist.
That ball was sublime. Everybody on the East Terrace, me and him are going,
shouting, shoot! And he had time to bring that ball down, look up, pull his trousers and pants down, and still dink it over. Inch perfect for Godden to finish. And it's a fine, fine finish. But that assist is a different level. There weren't enough characters on my tweet for me to put any more flames in my tweet. Because it was ridiculous.
And if you're... I mean, I know that you haven't been around too much, but you've seen Joby McEnough on Saturday.
Joby, I thought, was great.
Yeah, him playing fully fit is a major step forward.
I thought it was great.
Compared to what we saw the first few months of the season, it's unrecognisable.
I thought it... everybody... Like Dean says, you can't pick a man of the match. Joby was brilliant. Matty Godden was brilliant. The shift that Shuey puts in. How old is he, 42?
Who's that?
Shuey. runs. Charlie Lee, magnificent.
Now, I saw you going to it was Agent Eves before the game.
Yeah.
And Agent Eves, I saw comment on Borough Chat. Now, him and me fall out regularly now about Dale Gorman. He thinks he's my love child, but, you know. He didn't think Joby put in that much of a shift, I read.
I did see
that. Yeah, I saw that.
Ryan. Ryan, come on. He's at left back. He's at right mid. He's at left mid. Come on.
He's 54.
Ryan. Yeah, the grey hairs. He's got more grey hairs than mine. You know?
It was a funny old post from Ryan. And I like a lot of the stuff that I agree with.
I love a bit of banter. And I love a little bit of banter with Ryan. But. He does sometimes. Bless your heart. Thank you very much, Ray.
He does.
Does anyone else want a drink?
No, I'm good.
God, okay.
I'll have a cider, please.
Of course you will.
Yeah, you have an apple juice. I thought that was a bit.
Oh, I thought he put a shift in, but Ryan's play. Whilst he was saying he didn't put in as much.
He did say
how well he played, and I don't know. It's for me that. I don't know if I'm defending him because he's a mate of mine, but. It was a post that said he didn't think he'd put in as much of a shift as everybody else was saying he'd put in. Not that he hadn't put a shift in.
You've seen it over the last few weeks.
Sorry, Ryan, that is poppycock.
But you've seen him, Pat. What do you think of Joby
McInerney? He's done a lot of really good pressing, really good delivery and creativity. He's been all over the place. It's
But you have to admit, in August, September, he was diabolical.
Yeah.
He wasn't diabolical, but he...
I didn't like him, did I? No. I was really critical of him. And I will stand in front of Joby and say, Joby, I slated you, and I apologise. And I've never apologised to a footballer in my life, but that guy, you know, if Jack will make room, I'll take Joby to bed as well.
I think as we expected more, I guess, because of his pedigree.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Then came in and was just kind of average standard, and he's shown he's much better than that since Christmas.
I've
got that fully fit.
I've got the whole Stevenage team now just cowering, afraid to come out of the tunnel on a Saturday afternoon.
There's been a 15-man hot tub boat in the garden.
Do you know, did you see my tweets? Was it last night or the night before? I've got to buy Joby's. See it on my mind. Charlie's young lad. Packet of mini eggs every week now.
You have?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Charlie's young lad dropped all his mini eggs on the floor and he was, you know, upset. He dropped all his mini eggs. And I said, look, Charlie, I'll buy him a packet of mini eggs every single week if Dad puts in a shift like he did today. So I've got a packet ready for Cambridge, Chaz. So
I thought he was great, Charlie Lee, Saturday.
But he's been like that since he's come back in and picked up in that position.
Yeah.
And he did last season, didn't he? And yeah. I didn't like him there because I didn't want Charlie Lee to be semi-retired at holding midfield. I wanted Charlie Lee to be bursting forward and scoring me 10 goals a season.
Yeah,
because that was the Charlie Lee we knew, you know.
I hate to
but
say...
But now, that is it. You wouldn't put him anywhere else, would you? What are you on about? I told you so.
You know that I'm like that last year.
I know you did. But you can get over things quicker than me.
Thank you very much.
What about McCoyd? Because I mean he played badly, but he weren't really a shining light for me. He put a shift in, but I didn't really feel like there
controversial.
Was controversial. I didn't feel like there was much there particularly, and maybe it was because everybody else played so well. And if I watched I watched his performance on an average week, it was the fact that everyone's gone quiet probably suggests that I'm agreed with.
Me and Steve are looking at Pat. He can eat your back with that.
I haven't seen much from him yet. Decent pace, closes down all right. There's one game where he showed some decent link up with the others, but he's not had enough game time to really make a judgment. I don't think. But he's not ahead of Kennedy in the pecking order, is he?
He's so Kennedy light.
Is that what it is? He's coming. He's if Kennedy was fit Saturday, he wouldn't have played.
He's Kennedy slightly bigger, if anything, but not.
Josh McCoyd or Stacey Long?
Now, have you been reading my notes?
Josh McCoyd with one leg.
Kippax Borough, friend of the Three Counties commentary, and of course his son Charlie, who possibly was better than me on commentary, has given us a game.
Oh,
two games we've got tonight.
2010-2011 versus 2016-2017. He gave us a start against the two goalkeepers from the team against Goal Tuga. Chris Day versus Chris Day. Well, he's picking Chris Day. Ronnie Henry versus he's picking. So who would you have? You know, I've printed a team off against Stevens beat Port Vale in that 2010-2011 season. Would you have John Ashton or would you have Luke Wilkinson?
Ashton.
Would you have Mark Roberts? Did it consistently
for a long time. From what I can tell, Wilkes had a
would
good
you have Mark Roberts? Yes. Or would you have Jack King?
Imagine Robbo and Jack King.
Mark Hollis, who would you go for there?
Yeah. Well, I know that's an unfair question.
Put Jack King in, and then I can keep spooning Robbo in bed.
who's going to bed with you, Steve? This season.
That's another game we could play.
None of Stevenage players, I can assure you.
If you could take one Stevenage player from the last 5 years to bed, who would it be?
No.
If you could kick your mate Stephen out for 5 minutes. You could kick
Scott Laird or Connor Ogilvie?
Shouldn't it be Laird or Cozy, given that it's like permanent players? Ogilvie's a level above Stevenage, I think, for a fourth place team, isn't he?
Okay, well, so
then I'd pick Laird.
You'd go Laird, wouldn't you? Laird or Cozy? Laurie Wilson or, let's say, Joby McEnough?
That's a tough one.
Joby every day.
Laurie Wilson had the work rate and he had the pace, but he couldn't cross, could he? And how much bow did we lose?
How many balls did he stick in the woods?
I always thought
I loved Laurie
Wilson was overrated. You heard it here.
I liked Laurie Wilson, but
I did like Joby.
Joby. You got Joby, wouldn't
you? Up for the two of them, yeah.
Even though he's 35?
Yep.
Well, if you're picking two wingers.
No. Hang on a minute. I've got Stacey Long in this team.
So, no.
David Bridges.
No.
Or Charlie Lee?
Charlie Lee.
No brainer.
Michael Boswick or Stephen Schumacher?
Bozzy.
Schumacher.
Over Bozzy, you're having a laugh.
Schumacher has absolutely turned me on my head. He is the reason for this form.
Bozzy passes the ball to stewards.
If we had Darren Sile in this room and we said, right, Darren, don't give us any of this, you know, press. You know, you haven't got to be pleasant. You haven't got to be nice. There's no microphone on. Give me one player that's turned this team around from December. If he didn't say Stephen Schumacher, I'd be really surprised.
Take nothing away from Stephen Schumacher, because when I was watching him last season, filth. Last payday, whatever. Horrendous injury.
Yeah.
He's come back and he's turned around fantastic.
Before he got injured, Stephen Schumacher was the Stephen Schumacher we're seeing.
Yeah, four or five games before he got injured.
Yeah, he was.
Maybe he turned it around prior to his injury.
He did a bit.
Early doors, Stephen Schumacher, he was a man on his last paycheck.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
that.
Right. If you said to me now, okay, we're signing Bozzy tomorrow, I'd go, I'm alright. I'm okay with Sherry.
You got Jack King.
No.
I'm alright with Sherry, thank you very much.
Well, when you've got that comparison, you had Bozzy, who's a monster at the prime of his career, versus Schumacher, who's mid-30s.
You're looking at something completely
then
different.
I'd pick Bozzy from those two, definitely.
Yeah. You get a free kick 7-8 yards outside the area, and that's a goal-scoring opportunity for me.
Bozzy couldn't hit a free kick from 20-25 yards, no?
We didn't see it often.
Okay, here we go. Stacey Lowe or Ben Kennedy?
Kennedy.
Kevin.
I wouldn't have had Stacey Long in the team when we had him.
All right. So
Stacey Long or Ben Kennedy?
I've chosen two teams, actually. Stacey played in the team that beat Cheltenham 4-0, but the week before, Peter Wynn played in that position. And I thought it was fairer to match Ben up with
Stacey.
I never
rated Stacey Long.
Okay. Craig Reid or...
No.
All right, Byron Harrison or Matty Godden?
Matt Godden,
hands down.
That's not difficult.
Do you know what? We didn't use many players that season. And the players I haven't mentioned, Moose, he didn't play in either of those two games.
Hang on, before you read any more, let me have a little look at that sheet. Because I don't want you to...
Play the game that to Stephen Dean, to remember the team.
It's a comparison, though, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you can compare this side to that side.
It's getting that way. I look at that team Saturday and I think, albeit I haven't been around much and I haven't seen an awful lot, I look at that team Saturday and go, hang on a minute, how many of you would I not be giving a run out?
And then you look at
there ain't many.
You can look at Portsmouth and say, how many of those would get into our side at the moment?
Oh gosh.
And then you can go back to Luton and say, how many of those would get into our side?
I said that to Simon, and Simon was struggling and he went, I might put Hilton in the head of Godden because Godden didn't play that well today.
I wouldn't.
Didn't play that well.
Against Luton.
I've never seen Danny Horton put in a performance against Steve Mitch.
Who else played that season? Chris Beardsley played 20 times. The Big D played 24. Peter Wynn, Robbie Sinclair, Charlie Griffin, Chris Holdroyd, Byron Harrison, David Bridges, Joel Byron, Ben May. Yemi. You wouldn't. I wouldn't put any of them in today's team.
It comes to saying like they've released that whoever it is has released that League Two team of the season halfway through the season.
It's pathetic, isn't it?
So you've got the Portsmouth goalkeeper and that Portsmouth centre half.
Who couldn't catch a ball?
Burgess.
Oh my God.
Burgess as well.
6'9" of nothing.
Who played 45 minutes down at Fratton Park against us because Matt Godden turned him inside out.
And he had a punch up with his own player, didn't he?
Had a punch up with his own player. And then on Saturday, he was
garbage.
Pants.
It was. He had his pants pulled down two or three times with balls in behind him and balls over the top of him. He's 6'9". He was having balls over the top of him.
I heard people saying, all right, it was a bit harsh, the second yellow card.
No, well.
No.
It was a blatant block.
Yeah. And before that, he could have picked up...
Blatant, deliberate block.
More blatant and obvious.
Yeah, you're right, actually, Pat.
Yeah.
As much as... I'm interested in what you two got to say. Pat had his book out, and I'm very interested in what he got his book out.
I played that game pretty much this afternoon, and I was just kind of looking at the squads. The only two I kept were Laurie Wilson and Scott Laird.
It's a difficult...
Chris Day or Jamie Jones? Now, be very, very careful, because as Steve has found out, Jamie Jones listens to all of our output.
And so does Mrs. Day.
Then you can't choose, can you?
I think did you see Jamie's tweet on Tuesday night?
No.
Steve got called out, didn't you? Do you want to tell the listeners all about it? How you were called out by the Stevenage goalkeeper?
I don't know why. The Blackpool goalkeeper was holding the ball for about 20 seconds, and I suggested that we'd never see Jamie Jones do such a thing.
Yeah, but you said it with a hint of sarcasm in your voice, didn't you?
I'll maintain.
Right, you favourited the tweet this morning, I noticed, actually, because you obviously had a flick through Jamie's Twitter, and Jamie went, I'll have you know, Stephen Dino, I don't hold on to the ball for more than 6 seconds. Come on, you Borough. So he was listening in.
Yeah, and he's got an assist this season, so he can't be that bad.
He won't be listening to this, drivel.
They all listen. Sarli hasn't been on training on a Friday morning. Stop, right, boys? Inside this morning, you've got to listen to them four idiots.
Maybe that's what it
Gaffer.
Is.
Motivation, prove these
are
At the moment, Jamie Jones is fit Saturday. Does he play?
I'm not saying because I'm Chris Day.
I haven't
I'm Chris Day's biggest fan and always will be.
You can afford to wait until he's absolutely fully fit. You don't need to take any risk there, do you? You wouldn't want to disrupt what he's been a pretty solid back four recently, but... Looking at the structure, it's clearly Dave moving towards coaching role. So I think he'll come back in as soon as he's fit. Yeah,
he's done great though, hasn't he?
He's been brilliant.
He's done great.
First game against Orion, he had a little bit of a moment when one went over his head towards the back post. But
well, is it last three or four games now?
Four, isn't he?
He's conceded one, which was a penalty.
Yeah,
he's got better and better really quickly.
Not bad at...
What was worse...
Not bad at the same age as me.
What was worse on Saturday? That whopper's penalty.
Yeah. What's his name? Did you see it at Channel 5?
Connor Chaplin.
Yeah, Channel 5. Oh,
Little Charlie.
Who writes their scripts? Yeah. They haven't come to us, have they yet?
They used that joke twice on chat.
What was worse, his penalty or Caelan Hines' touch when he went through on goal? And all he had to do, was tackle. When he had a header, when he headed it at goal from 40 yards,
he fed. He wasn't far from getting onto that, though, in fairness.
Just do yourself a favour, lad. I mean, the big old boy, to be fair, he obviously don't know his own strength, but
he's quite chunky, isn't he?
I thought I was going to get beaten up.
Where? On the East Terrace?
On the East Terrace on
Saturday. People were taking pictures of me and Snapchatting them to my daughter.
So, I had a...
From the teenage part of the Barney Army.
I had a goal rush accumulator.
Surprise your fame, Dino.
I had a goal rush accumulator on.
You were biting your fist.
On Saturday.
You were biting your fist.
So, with 10 minutes to go...
Are we back on my partner again?
With 10 minutes to go, I needed two teams to score.
Wrexham
and Portsmouth.
Did Wrexham score in the end?
I didn't in the end.
Oh, well, that's okay.
So I didn't mind too much. He's hauled matey down in the box for a penalty, and I'm giving it in the stand. I've got down low pointing at the spot like that. I've given the penalty.
This was for £350, wasn't it?
£350 nick a ride on it. Ref blown out, and I've started cheering. I've looked round, and the looks I'm getting from people, like no one's ever seen me on these. This might be a Portsmouth fan.
I'll
get duffed up. But yeah, so I thought once he'd done that with a penalty,
worth £350 though.
But I did think at that point, I thought it would have been sod's law that Wrexham were going to nick one in injury time, I'd have been let down for £350 nicker by that penalty.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, cheapers creepers.
So what are you reckoning, Steve? You think we're going to get this automatic promotion malarkey?
No.
That's Pat squeaking the doors, by the way, everyone.
I didn't know we had horns
at the time. Yeah. You need to get the maintenance man out, Dino.
WD-40, sort that, no problem.
I've just asked Steve if he thinks we're going to get that third place.
I think we could.
Well, they won't win another game all season if they play like that. Let's face it.
Will we?
What do the run-ins look like? Has anyone looked at that yet? Who they've got and who we've got? Is there much?
Well, we're not allowed to. Darren only looks at Cambridge, doesn't he? As Jeff asked him on the show on Monday night, when you sit at home with your mug of tea on a Sunday and you flick to the league table, you don't look at it. I don't buy a paper on a Sunday, to be honest.
Automatics will be probably a stretch too far.
We've got the best points per arbitrary run of recent fixtures than anyone going into that.
Yeah.
We're scoring at a higher rate than Portsmouth, a higher rate than Luton. They're the most direct competition.
But every League 2 run has a shelf life, I've been saying for the last 3 weeks.
But you say that, but yeah, you can say that, and if it was me being the cynic that I am, I'd probably say, if we're winning 8-9 games out of our last 9 or 10, once you get beat, you're probably going to get beat 2-3 times.
Yeah, you'd have thought that.
And then you're going to be looking at trying to nick 7th. But even if that was the case, even if we'd lost to Blackpool and Portsmouth did us, and then we went and only got a point at Cambridge or whatever, and we finished the season in a battle for 7th, we'd still all be sitting at the end of the season saying what a fantastic season we'd had and what a fantastic run we'd had.
The fact
we can even talk about the possibility of making the automatic promotion race is leagues above where we possibly thought we were going to be. I think it would probably be a stretch too far.
Is it with 8-9 games, we're mathematically safe this season, isn't it? And I think, you know, a lot of people would actually take that. But, boy, are we going to be... We're at least going to be in the playoffs.
There's only 4 points from us.
It'll take some monumental... But when you say... You look at that... What are we on, 62?
Yeah.
What is it, like 6 points between what we're on and 12?
Yeah.
It's tight.
We've got to go Yeovil. It's not been a... we've won there, haven't we? We've got to go Carlisle, we've never won there. We've got to go Cambridge, it's not a happy hunting ground. That goes out the window with this mob.
Cambridge is not a happy hunting ground.
I always seem to come away from there with the ump.
No, I think you find we've got a good record against Cambridge.
I don't know, maybe it's just the last couple of seasons. But
let's have a straw poll then.
Dean,
will we make the automatic promotion places?
There's nobody we've got now and the end of the season that will worry me.
You know,
we can't. If we win, we can't go and beat
Portsmouth. If we get 18, yes, because I don't think Portsmouth will win 6 or 5.
Dean, yes or no?
Yeah,
promotion places, promotion.
Yeah, it's absolutely on.
Yeah, I think we can.
No, not can. Will we make the automatic promotions? Yes or no?
Well, yeah, I'm saying we'll win 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we did this when Jeff Rhodes was with us and we were staying up by about 11 points?
I'm going to say no, we won't make automatic.
Well, I hope Glenn Rhoda gets hold of you at the next
day. Well, I hope he does, because I don't want to say no, because we can do it. But
I think it's doable, but I think we've got a win.
Look, that mob on Saturday have got a win, two more than us.
But who's to say that... We're 4 points behind them, so why have they got to win two more games?
Well, they've got we've got to win two more. I don't know. A couple of glasses of red.
We need to win two more games than Portsmouth, which on their performance Saturday,
we've got to win six.
Is easy done. Yeah. However, their performance Saturday can't be indicative of the rest of their season.
Well, you wouldn't have
otherwise
so.
They wouldn't be third.
Their goalkeeper's the best goalkeeper in the league.
Jesus. Okay, so two yeses and two noes for the automatics then.
There you go, Darren, that's sorted it out. You don't care because he's only got past Cambridge.
No, and he won't hear it anyway.
And it doesn't matter what we think.
You've got a game for us?
I've got an edition of Steve and Dean and Pat. Guess the team, a game that happened years ago.
Mm, okay.
Right. Wow. Oh, this is a bit of a surprise one. We've gone different game.
And he hasn't even got a bit of paper in his hand.
Don't know if I'm ready for this one. Go on.
So... the date is Tuesday, 23rd of October, 2012.
That's a year after.
We are competing in NPower League One.
Graham would still have been around. So anyone's choice.
We beat Portsmouth 2-1 at home.
Oh, I remember this.
I nearly told you scored both the goals. What an idiot. Right, okay. So, the game is as ever. You will each put in a bid for how many. Now, should we just do starting 11 or should we include the subs as well?
I think we should include subs.
Include subs as well. Right, so starting 11 plus a choice of 7 subs. I need a bid. I'm going to start with you, Dean, and work my way around clockwise to Steve for how many.
4 players.
You think you can only name 4?
4.
5.
You think you can do 5? Steve.
I better go 6, hadn't I?
6, and it's on you to take the helm.
No, well, I could go 7, couldn't I?
If you want to go, if you want to better,
you can name 6.
Right, Pat. Do you want to one up him for me? 6.
No, let's hear his 6.
There's 18 to choose from.
Right. Okay, let's get going.
So 6 of 18.
Chris Day.
On the bench.
So now he knows the other goalkeeper.
Felipe Morey
scored both the goals. Six, he says.
Chris Beardsley.
No.
No. Nowhere to be seen.
Pat.
So Pat, it's on to you to name another 3.
Alrighty then. Greg Tansey.
Gregory.
Yes,
and Watkins.
Does that mean he made a tackle?
Hey, he's injured, you know.
James Dunn.
Jamie.
The only man in England that calls him Jamie Dunn. Week in, week out. It says James on the programme.
Oh, look at some Jamie of these Dunn. Players. Jeepers, creepers.
Come on, Pat, you need one more. And you're in with Graham. As a visitor winning the point. Because he managed to actually name one of his own teams, didn't he? When he was sat around this table.
Yeah. Let's go Ronnie Henry.
Safe bet. Same shape as at Luton at the top.
He's not there.
I can't remember the year.
He's not there.
Sad year.
So, that is four, which was your thing.
Well,
so,
just showboat.
Run off as many as you think you can do.
Well, I'd imagine that... who would have been in goal? Who would have been in goal? League One.
Favourited one of my tweets when I saw him play for somebody else and tweeted, that's why we let him go. And then I felt bad because he's so nice.
Well, John Ashton surely was at centre back.
No.
No. Lucas Aikens.
So.
Too little, too late.
I'll go through from the top.
Who's in goal?
Arnie.
Steve Arnold.
Steve Arnold. I thought that, but I didn't think he played in League One.
David Gray.
Oh, him. Oh, well, one of Graham's favourites, him, wasn't he?
All hail Mark Roberts.
I was going to go one or the
See,
other.
See, I thought Ronald was already Fleetwood. I got my ears in the way.
Bonds and Gala.
Oh, of course.
Oh, dear.
Jeepers Creepers.
As Dippo likes to refer to him as Bonzo.
What, his 17th
court
this season?
Darius Charles. Lucas Aikens. Greg Tansey. James Dunn. Philippe Moray. Luke Freeman. And the lift photographer himself, Marcus Haybar. Substitutes on the day, Chris Day, Anthony Grant, Robbie Rogers, Danny Lopez, Oliver Rissa.
Did you ever see Andy?
And my mate, Robin Schroot.
Did you ever see Andy Iroh play? Where did you see him play, Pat?
Hearts Senior Cup, I think.
Level?
No, he looked out of his depth.
We haven't had a rant about Robin Schroot for a long time.
Nothing to say, is there?
We've said it all.
Nothing else to be said about that, man.
So,
Cambridge Saturday.
Yeah. What are they like?
I'm going to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You could be meeting Mark at a farmer's market and...
No, well...
No.
Are we not allowed to talk about that?
No.
Okay. I think we'll win.
A win?
I think we'll win. And do you know what? I spoke to our old friend, Steve, Jim Winch. Jim's a lovely fellow. We've been to Gambia with him and he drives the youth team around a bit.
Have you? You've been to Gambia?
I've been to Gambia, yeah. Oh. I don't know if I've mentioned it. Like, you've never been on a bike. That's no way to talk about our local MP, I suppose. And Jim said that Henry Cowans said to him, we genuinely can't see where our next defeat's coming from. All right, Blackpool was a bit...
We lost to Blackpool.
We lost to Blackpool. But somebody else, you know, I just... if the players think that and the periphery players think that, there's got to be something really, really... And I don't want to sound corny because it does, but something special is happening at our football club.
You can't look at Saturday and be a fan, a player, a youth team player, a coaching staff... tea lady, whatever, and say that we're going to do anything on Saturday but win. Could you go out and play at 75% of what you played on Saturday? You're probably going to be good enough to make a win.
My cousin was there in the ground on Saturday.
We're setting ourselves up for a fall, obviously.
I know, yeah.
There's no...
It's league,
how can you sit here after watching that Saturday and go, nah, don't fancy us?
My cousin's a Liverpool fan. He goes to watch Liverpool and he came and he bought his mate, both Premiership football fans, and they came to watch and they were like, wow. They come two or three times a season for the last five seasons, and they're like, we haven't seen nothing like this.
A friend of mine came and stood next to me in the second half, who's a Spurs fan, goes up there quite regularly, and he comes every now and again because he's got friends and family and stuff that go and watch, and I constantly get a ribbon for, you know, over the last few seasons under Teddy and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do you go and watch that every week? But even he was standing there and didn't say anything, and was sort of... Oh, yeah, hang on a minute, there's a side here, and it's, you know, from the difference between what I saw first half at Doncaster, or against Doncaster, and then second half where you go, hang about, there's half a team here, to that on Saturday. I mean, that's as good a performance as I've, to the point that I almost, after a few beers Saturday, went and found Darren on Facebook. I was going to drop him a message and say, that's as good as That's as good as I've seen down there in many, many, many years.
And that's without...
I refrained.
And that's without Ron. That's without Ben. And that was without...
Jamie Jones,
Connor Ogilvie. So you've got, you know, four players there that weren't even on the bench.
Yeah, it's the most confident I've been in my time as a Stevenage fan, I think, at the moment.
And I wonder how much of it does come down to Matt Godwin's form. Because it must be, or just from my silly Sunday league experience, knowing that you haven't got to create 15 chances to get a goal, knowing that you've just got to get the ball to him.
You said to him about missing one, and he was like, "Yeah, I was really disappointed with that because I should have hit the target." Mm. One chance, and he's kicking himself. Whereas some strikers need three or four, and they wouldn't have even given that miss a thought.
Yeah,
and he's going, I should have scored.
That goal he got Saturday, you know, and I'll sing Joby's praises for that assist all day long, and it was an outrageous assist. That still takes something to finish that ball like that.
And he hadn't had
much of a touch.
And I watched Joby's goal back four or five times.
And that's a great finish as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. Better than Matt's, because he's had to change his body direction and flick an angle with his left foot.
Off the cuff as well.
How did the first effort come in? Did Matt Godden get that shot away?
I think he did. I think he got a little flick.
The keeper's Larry Grayson did it, hasn't he?
Yeah,
back out.
I think that ball's dropped. The defenders have closed in on Godden. Yeah.
He's got his foot between them. I wasn't sure whether he'd done it or whether a defender had.
I need to watch the highlights again because it's a bright yellow boot. And I don't know what boot.
I couldn't work it out. But then it came back.
But it's an outrageous finish. He's had to, like, shimmy his body.
You're right. It is better than Godden.
Flick the angle.
Godden back. Gordon had all that time to watch that ball float over, and
you wonder why I want to give him a cuddle.
But Joby's, that was pure instinct.
Yeah,
He didn't have any time to think about that. And like you say, it was a relatively tight angle, and then the way he's cut his body shape round, and brilliant.
Yeah,
and once you've done that, 47 minutes, that's it. Game.
Yeah, you can put your slippers on and have a cigar like Philip Murray thought he used to be able to do, and now can because he's setting up goals for fun for Bolton. But how he does that is beyond me. But there we are. Joby, my player of the season.
And there you go. Godden's been scoring half chances, quarter chances. You know, some of the goals have been kind of you would back
it. Yeah, but that is his predatory sort of instinct, isn't it? In seasons gone by, strikers would have needed four or five chances to have got that.
Yeah, that's partly why he's so important, because you look at what's behind him. Yeah. In the squad depth, and you think,
but he's defended on their byline. He's winning goal kicks for them because he's stopping their defenders.
It's that trust thing, isn't it? And you can say that, you know, people always say that about the other end. When you've got a great goalkeeper in goal, you've got, you know what I mean, you've got far less to worry about as a centre half, because you're not worried about trying to stop absolutely every shot, because you've got confidence and they're going to do it. Those midfield players know.
Yeah,
that probably.
I watch Schumacher and how he talks to Pet and how he talks to, you know. Chance.
Oh, Tom Pett, Saturday.
I was just going to say, we haven't even mentioned Tom Pett.
Wow.
But
yeah, I mean, I dared to criticise him a few weeks ago, and the fan club got on my back, didn't they? that is his position, isn't it? That is his position now. And Kevin Watson was right. Whoa, hold the front page. Kevin Watson was right. He's not a wide man. That is his position.
He was brilliant from winning that ball deep and breaking I thought he was phenomenal.
I just want to, because we've done 59 minutes and we haven't even mentioned this fella. We've mentioned Darren, and we've mentioned the players, and we've mentioned everybody else.
I know you're saying
Glenn Rader. I've got to go with Glenn Rader, because that guy, and I've stated it publicly, he must be a prickly man to work with. And I was talking to Simon. And Simon has obviously been at Three Counties many, many years, and he used to cover Watford when Glenn was the manager. And there was a guy called Ken Wilson used to cover Watford for 3CR. And Ken was a seasoned journalist, and, you know, nothing fazed him. You know, Ray Harford at Luton, no problem. Ken Wilson used to have sleepless nights in preparation to go to Vicarage Road to interview Glenn Rader. So that will tell you.
It was great watching him on Saturday, because
you were closer than us.
He stood right next to the fourth official, and whenever Paul Cook came anywhere near, he'd step forward, and Darren would be the other end of the technical area, and he was protected. Don't you go anywhere near my boy. let him deal with his football. Say what you've got to say, and I'll take it, and I'll let you have it back as well.
With knobs on.
And it was almost like watching Paul Cook turn away, staring at the ground, because he had absolutely no respect. You cut down.
I was sat at Kenilworth the week before, and we were there quite early, and I was sat with Simon, and we were just admiring the view of the, in the land of, you know, milk and honey. And so the players came out and they did their bit in the middle of the pitch, and then, you know, and Glenn just walked over to the little chalets over on the far side, sat in the dugout, and he must have sat there 20 minutes all on his own. He's had his arms folded and his legs outstretched in the dugout. Nobody went and spoke to him. Nobody even looked at him. But he was happy. He was psyching himself up. And do you know what? If Glenn Roeder has helped Darren Sahle in any way, shape or form this season, then my hat's off.
Yes, you can tell Roeder. You're dead right. And I think it's a great chemistry. And I think it works. And fair play to them.
Yeah, it's testament to it, to them, probably to them both, that it has worked. Because
let's face it, they're poles apart in personality and in ethos.
Yeah, and Darren could quite easily have turned around and said, "Oh, well, no, I don't want him there. I don't want somebody there telling me how to help." Do you know what I mean?
And there were times when I think
we saw a couple of glances from the commentary box, didn't we? Yeah. Where you think that hasn't gone down well with Sahle, or that hasn't gone down with Glenn, but. Fair play.
Worked out how that relationship's going to work, and yeah, great.
Okay, guys, we're going to have to wrap up. Dean's got some tables set for the morning.
Dean's got a super king size bed to make up for him and Jack.
Jack will be wandering through the doors very shortly. Pat Jackson, thanks for joining us this evening.
Pleasure.
Dino Thompson, thanks for being such a good host. He's been great, hasn't he?
Just settle your bar bills on the way out.
Yep.
And Mark Hollis, good to see you back.
Thanks, mate. And you're welcome for the intro.
We'll be back at some point.
And then the music comes in.
Yeah. And that's with no spaces.
Changes from the venue. Well, he's always got plenty to say. Most of it's a load of old toffee.